I've wanted to talk to you about this for a long time. As a matter of fact, I have mentioned the subject of my message a time or two in chapel and in conversation. So bear with me if I repeat myself this evening. It has to do with what I consider to be the proper attitude of the sheep toward the shepherd. I know some of us here, or some of you here rather, are training to be shepherds, but we're still sheep nonetheless, and still under the shepherd's authority. And I learned some interesting things about sheep while I was researching this thing. One of them is that it's impossible to define them zoologically. They pass imperceptibly into the goat family. However, if zoologists can't tell the difference, why our great shepherd can, and it tells us in Matthew that there will come a day when he'll divide the nations as the shepherd does the sheep from the goats, with the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right. But as I began to look into the Word about this thing, let's look at Romans 8:36. We sing a song about this scripture, but we leave out part of it in the song. Just the last sentence, really. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Sheep for the slaughter, yet conquerors. Now, that sounds kind of strange. It reminded me somewhat of the time I spent in the military. And so I looked elsewhere for another scripture that I thought might connect. And let's look in 2 Timothy 2:3 for that. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Another translation has it, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the soldier and the conqueror kind of lined up, and then the sheep for the slaughter and suffer with me sort of lined up. So I made a connection between sheep and soldiers. Now let's look in Titus 2:15. Just the first part of that verse. This is Paul's advice to shepherds, sort of a shepherd's handbook he's writing here. And he says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Now the Greek word that is translated authority here is used 7 times in the New Testament, and this is the only place where it's translated this way, authority. All the other places it's commandment. So shepherds have command. A connection now, I think, between shepherds and commanders. Sheep, soldiers, shepherds, and commanders. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 3:13 or 3:17. We've been in that book a lot today, praise the Lord. Hebrews 3:17, but yes, 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Okay, we see here, obey and submit. Those are duties of soldiers and sheep. We see words like rule and give account. Those are for shepherds and commanders. Now, give account here, as they that must give account, doesn't mean the shepherd's going to be called to account if the sheep don't obey, and he's going to have to make a big, long explanation and a rug dance in front of the long green table if the sheep fail to obey him. This word means to carry back word or just to report on whether or not the sheep have obeyed. As a matter of fact, it goes on to say that the sheep and the soldiers are to see that the shepherds and commanders do this with joy, not with grief. If they do it with grief, it's unprofitable for sheep and soldiers, not for the shepherd and the commander. More accurately translated, that word unprofitable is not tax paying. So disobedience won't pay your taxes. Shepherds and commanders are responsible for sheep and shepherds, or sheep and soldiers. That's why they have the authority that we read in Titus. I fear that some would have it another way, that they would have authority but no responsibility. That's not God's way, however. You notice in this verse that Hebrews and commanders have a responsibility to report. Sheep and soldiers are responsible that it be done with joy, not with grief. Shepherds speak, exhort, rebuke. Sheep submit, obey. Let's look at Luke chapter 7. When he had ended all his sayings, this is Jesus, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. That centurion is a Roman company commander. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. This centurion understood authority. He understood that he had it not of himself, but he had it because he was under authority. Therefore, he was given authority to command. And so it is with shepherds. His authority over his flock is dependent upon his being under the authority of the chief shepherd. It begins to look now like one is never really totally shepherd or commander, but sheep and soldier at the same time. Having authority, but under authority. In command, but at the same time called to submit, obey. I believe that there are some young men here who perhaps by this time next year will be shepherds and commanders. Your success or failure will in large measure depend on how you've done as sheep and soldier. The Encyclopedia Britannica says that sheep grazing, although not involving expensive equipment, requires study. We do a lot of that here. And careful attention. Failures are chiefly due to inexperience, losses from parasites, and losses from sheep-killing animals. Now, these parasites are usually of two types, one of which fastens to the outside of the body and draws off life-giving fluid, causing the sheep to sicken and die. That's like sin being spotted from the world. They dip sheep to get rid of those external parasites. That's a form of immersion, I think. Then there are those which come into the body from outside. They're ingested with the food. And you know, the sheep's food is the word. But the word without the spirit, in Mike's course in hermeneutics, you could come up with some pretty dangerous things for your spiritual health. Or they can be ingested by breathing, the air. The spores of some of these parasites are carried on the wind. Be not borne about by every wind of doctrine. Also, losses from sheep-killing animals. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yes, shepherds have authority, great authority, but great responsibility. But he has a perfect example to follow, Jesus. The Bible says that even Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. He has a perfect manual, handbook, the Bible. And even though some of us are training to be shepherds, yet sheep still, and under the shepherd's authority. Now, perhaps there's a thing as sheep and soldiers we can do to make the shepherd's lot not quite so burdensome. Let's look at 2 Samuel 23:13. I really love this scripture. This is the one that describes David's mighty men. 2 Samuel 23:13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. I want you to know that David had 400 men in the cave at Adullam, but only three mighty men. Notice also that nowhere in there did he say he was thirsty. He just said he wanted a drink of water from that well in Bethlehem. If you've ever had a chance to be away from home for a long time, you know what was in David's heart when he wanted that drink of water from home. You know how wonderful all those memories are about the things that are back home. Sometimes the memories exceed the reality sometimes, and when you get back home, things are not quite what you remember. But David longed for a drink of water from home. Now, being soldiers, I have an idea that some of the 397 were huddled back in the cave wondering what in the world the old man was up to now. Why can't he drink the stagnant water from the pool in the back of the cave like the rest of us, you know? He was the commander, too. He had the authority. But I want you also to notice that he didn't say, Sergeant Major, I want three volunteers to perform a little duty for me. Nor did he say, you, and you fall in outside the cave in 5 minutes with a light marching pack for a water detail. He just longed for a drink of water from the well in the enemy command post. And out of 400, three mighty men. Notice also that they didn't slink and sneak in the dark of the night, darting from shadow to shadow and remaining still for several minutes in case the sentries saw them, and slip up to that well and sneak a canteen of water and then slink back into the cave again. It says they broke through the Philistines. That means they fought through the Philistines, got that water and fought their way back and gave it to David. Mighty men. Three mighty men who loved their commander so much, too much to see him long for something that was in their power to deliver. Risk their lives to give their shepherd that for which he longed. Now David was in a place at that time where he could inspire that kind of loyalty because he had been that loyal. When his king needed a champion and no mighty men appeared, he was God's mighty man at that hour. And he took his simple shepherd's sling and those five smooth stones, and he slew that Philistine giant. Not only bruised his head, he separated it from the rest of his body. I wonder what he needed those other four rocks for. But David earned loyalty by being loyal. Obedience by obeying. Authority by submitting to authority. Submit. Obey. And then, having done that and accepted the responsibility and earned the authority, the shepherd and commander is ready to follow the rest of Paul's admonition in Titus 2:15. Let no man despise thee, the rest of that verse. Now, this word despise does not mean to harbor a bitter hatred, but to be minded around, to think around. More accurate translation is, let no man disregard you. Sheep and soldiers, don't disregard the shepherd commander. Submit. Obey. You know, I haven't used the word love very much. One time, I think, in this presentation. But really, that's what we're talking about, is love. Loyalty and respect and love. If anyone here is not in this army, or not in this flock, you know about Jesus, who is our great shepherd, but you don't know Jesus, know that he is here tonight. I'm sure you can sense that. He is here to save you. He came to save, to seek and to save. He gave his life for his sheep. The shepherd does that. I don't know what commander you might have been following, but yes, I do too know what commander you've been following. And he won't give his life for the goats, I'll tell you that. He'll give his life, but he'll take the goats with him. But Jesus came to seek and to save. If you were once in this army and in this flock and have fallen away, he is here to reclaim. You know, he told the story of the shepherd with the 99 sheep in the safe place and left them there to go out on the mountain and search for that which was lost. He would welcome you back into that fold and into that flock and into that army. Perhaps you've been in the flock and in the fold and in the army, but have not yet been filled with the Spirit of God. You too need to submit, obey. Or maybe you just reached a place where you're about to step out into a ministry of your own, or you're seeking a ministry, and he has one for you. Submit, obey. Or perhaps you're one of those young men I mentioned before that I really believe in about a year from now will be thrust out with a flock of your own. And there is still something that perhaps you haven't been able to put by and give up, put it all on the altar. You too, I ask in Jesus' name, submit, obey.